8 and below. Appreciate the good singing. Appreciate everyone being here this morning. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to read verses 6 and 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. I'm going to bring you a message this morning about giving. Excuse me. I'd like to say this before we get started about giving. I'd like to preach every once in a while on giving. I believe that it's needful. I want to say, first of all, that we do have a congregation who gives. We do have very many generous people in the congregation, and they do support the church, and they support our missions and all of that, and we're thankful for that. Amen. And you know your heart. You know who you are that give. You know if you support the church or you support missions, you know what you give or how much you give, what heart you give. You know your own heart. But I'm not fool enough to believe that everyone participates in giving. That's just not the case. For every church, there's always just a few people who are the strong ones who are supporting the church. That's usually the case. I know that we do have people who give, and so you can search your own heart and you can think about what you give and what you contribute and what you can contribute and what you ought to contribute. You just search your own heart. But the message is about giving, and there is three kinds of givers that Paul mentions here in these two verses. And what's most important is, well, that you give, that you ought to give. We are commanded in Scripture to give. But it is with what attitude do you give? What kind of an attitude do you have as you give? And so that's what you want to examine here this morning. How do you give? What kind of giver are you? I mean, if you are a giver, what kind of a giver are you? And we want to examine those three givers here this morning. Before we do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your blessings upon us. We thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the blood atonement. We thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to be our Savior. Lord, we thank you for the reconciliation. You have brought us to yourself. You have saved us. You intercede for us right now. You've given us eternal life. You've given us a home in heaven. You've given us promises in your word. You've given us comfort. You've given us strength. You've given us brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, it's great to have fellowship. Father, I pray that you would enable me to say things that are necessary and needful. I pray that you'd open up our hearts and open up our minds, because that is needful too. Lord, we can get so distracted by the things of last week or what we might be going to do here after church or what we need to do that we just kind of zone out and we don't think about what your word is actually saying. But I pray that you'd help us to have ears to hear this morning and give us eyes to see. I pray that you do a work in our hearts that only you can do, and we'll thank you for it. We love you and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll read verses 6 and 7. We're coming in on the tail end of some thoughts that Paul the Apostle has been saying, and I'll explain to you here in just a few moments. I'll try to tie it in all together of what he's been talking about. He's writing to the church at Corinth, and he's trying to emphasize the importance of giving. He says in verse number 6, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." We might as well read verses 8 and 9. "God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, He hath dispersed abroad, He hath given to the poor, His righteousness remaineth forever. God commands us to give, especially during this time. I think that a message on giving would be important and essential, because right about this time we start thinking about Christmas time and our finances get a little bit tight. We start thinking about, well, I've got to buy gifts for this person or a gift for that person, and so I really can't afford to give to the church. I've got to spend my money on Christmas or gifts, and so I've got to take a little bit of God's money and I'll put it over here and I'll just not give for a while. I've got to use my money for Christmas time. Can I tell you this morning that that's not a good excuse? You and I ought to give even during Christmas time. Some people say, well, coronavirus is going on, and so therefore, I can't give during coronavirus. I can't come to church, and so therefore, I'm not going to support the church. I'm not going to support missions. I'm not here to try and browbeat you into giving money. And that's not the intent of the message. But I do want you to examine your heart and examine how you give and what kind of a giver that you are. Now, somebody once said, no one has ever become poor by giving. And that's true. I hate to be cliche or whatever you want to say, but you can't outgive God. And you really can't. I've never regretted giving money to God or supporting God's work. And you and I, as Christians, are commanded to give. There's many different ways that you and I are commanded to give in Scripture. God commands us to give to the poor. I must say that I fall short in that. Maybe it's because I don't know a whole lot of poor people. But God has commanded us as Christians to give to the poor. That could be why there's such a state of welfare within the United States today. Maybe Christians have dropped the ball and they don't give to their neighbors the way that they ought to. I don't know. That's just a thought I'm throwing out there. But the Bible does command us to give to the poor. And you might say, well, that's Old Testament, because Proverbs 19:17, I'll read you a verse, says, He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. That's from the Old Testament. Now, the Old Testament can be a guideline for our giving. Now, I understand we're under grace and we're not under the law, and the law says that we have to tithe and all of these things. I understand that. But the law, it was given as a guideline for us as Christians. We don't throw it out just because we're under grace. We don't disregard 3/4 of the Bible just because we're under grace and say, well, I don't have to pay attention to half the Bible because we're under grace. I don't believe that. The Old Testament, the law was given to us to show us our sinful nature. It was given to us to drive us to Jesus Christ and to show us God's requirements and His holiness and His righteousness. And so therefore, if you and I want to know what a sin is, we need to go to the Old Testament. If we want to know what God wants and what He likes and what He dislikes, we'll go to the Old Testament. And it's no different in giving. So we're not under compulsion to give. We're not under compulsion like in the Old Testament. But we do go there. We do go to the Old Testament and look at it and say, well, this is a guide for our life. I can see this is God's Word. The Old Testament is God's Word. And so therefore, I can see what God wants me to do. And so God commands us to give to the poor, and I can go to the Old Testament and I can find proof of that, and I can say, well, God wants me to do that. I don't care if I'm under grace or not. God still wants me to do that. God commands us to tithe. Abraham before the Old Testament, even before the law even came around, you find in Genesis 14, Abraham is tithing. He gave a tenth. That's what a tithe is, a tenth. So I can look at that and I can say, well, that's a pretty good guideline to go by. Yes, sir. I can just take a tenth of what I have, give it to the Lord, give it to the church, give it to missions, whatever it might be, I can go by that. And I don't think I'd be out of line by doing that. And I don't think I'm out of line by preaching that we ought to tithe. So we are commanded to give to the poor. We are commanded to tithe. I'll say this. I believe that you should give to your local church. Because the local church is not going to thrive and survive well unless people give. Amen. The reason that we're here today, we have the things that we do, and we have the unity, and all of this is because people have sacrificed in the past. Amen. The reason that we have a building, and we have vehicles, and we have insurance, and we have all of this, we have heating today, air conditioning when it's hot. All of that is because people sacrificed and gave. The reason that the preacher can buy groceries is because people give. And I'm not up here griping about how much I'm getting paid. I'm not bucking for a raise or anything like that. I've got a job. I'm satisfied with my job, another job besides this one. Work at the nursing home. I'm fine with that. But you ought to take care of the pastor, and you do. I understand that. I'm not saying that you shouldn't or that you don't. But it requires money. It requires finances. It requires people sacrificing. If you guys quit giving, we're not going to have the lights on in here. We're not going to have heat. Not going to be able to pay our bills. People will suffer. And so we're all benefiting from the things that we have here, right? And so if we're all benefiting from the things that we have here, then it would make sense, it would stand to reason that we ought to give and we ought to support the work here in Portales. Yes, sir. And we also ought to support missions. Amen. Because we send out missionaries to foreign fields and they can't do what they're going to do unless you and I give some money. Unless we support them with our finances. They're not going to go out like I'm doing today and go out and get a second job and try to be a missionary and work full-time too. They're not going to do that. And so if you and I don't give, they're not going to be able to do the work that they do. And so when you give to the Lord's work. If you believe that this is a New Testament local Baptist church that you want to support, then you would give to this church and you would give to missions for the furtherance of the gospel. Now, if this is just a Mickey Mouse operation and you don't believe in it, well, then don't give any money and go find a church that you do believe in. I don't believe anybody thinks that here, but that's just my thoughts coming out. So we are commanded to give to the Lord's work. And when you give to the local church, you are giving to the Lord. And God has commanded us to give. And so we should give in all of those areas. Now, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and he's urging the Corinthians to come through on the commitment that they had made. They had made a commitment that they would support the poor saints in Jerusalem. And for some reason or another, I don't know if it was contention between the Corinthians and Paul or what it was, but they were kind of backing off from that. They were saying, well, I don't know. We're kind of getting cold feet. We're kind of getting cold feet about sending this money that we had promised to give to the poor saints at Jerusalem. And so Paul is writing to them, and he's saying, look, no, you need to go ahead and go through with your commitment. You need to go ahead and send an offering that you promised, like you said that you would. And so Paul is trying to urge them, go ahead and give. It's important that you give. And Paul is fixing to go and see them. He's fixing to make a visit to the church at Corinth, and he sends Titus ahead of him to go and talk to the saints at Corinth and try to encourage them to get prepared, to go ahead and make the offering that you promised that you would give. And so there he is, and this is where we come into this story right here in verses 6 and 7. He says, he that soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. Look, go ahead and be generous with your money and send it like you said you were going to send. And he says, it's not only important that you give, but what is your attitude in giving? Now, you and I are commanded to give, but what's most important is what kind of giver are you? What kind of attitude do you have when you do give? Now, Paul mentions three attitudes in verse number 7. And he says there's two of them that you don't want to have, and then there's one that you do want to have. So if you and I are going to be givers, we all ought to be givers. I hope that we're all in agreement with that. But what kind of giving, what kind of attitude should we have when we give? Well, the first one that we should not have is a reluctant attitude. He says in verse number 7, don't give grudgingly. Grudgingly. That means kind of reluctant. Well, I don't really want to, but I guess I'll go ahead and do it. I've got the finances, I've got the money, but man, there's just something that is holding me back from going ahead and doing it happily. I'm not going to do it cheerfully. I mean, some people, yeah, they're going to give. They'll give. They don't really want to. They're kind of holding back a little bit. They could give a little bit more, and they could do it with a better attitude, but they're just not doing it. They have the wherewithal. They have the means. God has blessed them. God has given them the money to give. Man, they are just reluctant to give. They're not very faithful. I mean, they'll give sometimes, you know, sometimes I'll tithe. Sometimes I'll give to missions, but I don't really want to give. And I understand that this is just not real, this is not real exciting, and, you know, people don't like to be talked about, you know, giving and things like that. They'd rather hear something happy and nice, but giving's in the Bible. Yes, sir. And so we have to preach about it. Amen. And Paul the Apostle says, don't give grudgingly. What is grudgingly? It's reluctant. Do you know that's a spiritual condition that each and every one of us have to deal with? And it's a sin. It's a sin to be reluctant. And it has affected every part of the human being. I mean, you think about sin and you think, man, sin, that's like adultery. That's like fornication. That's like being a drunkard. That's like doing all those bad things. Gluttony, those real bad sins. But you don't ever think about reluctancy as being a sin. But reluctancy is a sin. Now, it might not be as bad as some of the other sins, because all sins are not equal in the eyes of God, but it's still a sin, and it affects every part of the human experience. Did you know that reluctancy will affect the way that you think? It'll affect your mind. It'll affect your thoughts. You know, the reluctant giver thinks, you know, I don't have to give, and I don't need to give, because what's mine and my is mine, I'm going to keep it. That's the thoughts of a reluctant giver. I don't have to give. I earned what I have, and I ought to be able to keep it. That's the way a reluctant giver thinks. Reluctant giver thinks, well, the church got plenty of money, all kinds of finances. They don't need my money. I'll just go ahead and keep it because it's my right. I earned this money. I don't have to give it to the Lord. I don't have to give it to the church. I'll just keep what I have. They've got plenty. I don't have to give to the poor. I mean, the poor, they just need to quit being a bum and go out and get a job and quit being lazy. I'm just going to keep my money. And those words have come out of my mouth before. But that's a reluctant giver. Reluctancy affects our thoughts. It affects our mind. It affects the way that we think, and we become stingy with our money. Did you know that reluctancy will affect your heart? It'll affect your motives for why you are giving. Reluctant giver will think, man, I just want to give so I can look good in front of other people. Everyone will see me giving this money, and boy, I'll just look so good and so spiritual and so holy in front of everybody, and that's the reason that I'm going to give. Reluctancy will affect your heart. Reluctancy will affect your willingness to give. God has commanded you to give, and He's commanded me to give, and we must give with a cheerful heart. But man, the reluctant giver, well, they just hold on to that money. They don't want to give. And it'll stop you from doing the very thing that God has commanded you to do. Reluctancy has set into your heart, and you don't do what God commanded you to do, and that's give cheerfully. Reluctancy, they don't give cheerfully. You know, I kind of thought of it like this. Did you ever get an apology from somebody? And you knew that apology, I mean, they had wronged you. They had done something wrong to you. And you knew it. And they knew it. And they finally came around and they gave that apology, but it was kind of a half-hearted apology. Well, I'm sorry. You know, that's the kind of apology that they gave to you. Yeah, they apologized, all right. They came around. They said something to you. Now they apologized, but then it wasn't what they owed you. What'd you think whenever you got that apology like that? You probably thought, you know, they apologized, all right, but that's pretty worthless and pretty meaningless apology, because I know that they didn't mean it, and really, it didn't mean a whole lot to me. When you and I give reluctantly, and we give, but we really don't want to give, do you know that money or that giving that we gave is kind of meaningless and worthless to the Lord? Because God loves a cheerful giver. And you and I cannot give reluctantly. Look, don't be a reluctant giver. Give with a cheerful heart. There's the reluctant giver. But what about the lawful giver? The lawful giver. We find that too. Verse number 7, he says, don't give of necessity. Now, some people give, but they only give because God commanded to give, and that's a good reason. You and I ought to give because God commands us to give, but some people only give, well, because I have to. Because the Bible says so, that's why, and by golly, I'm going to give because the Bible says so. Well, okay, but that's still the wrong kind of attitude to have. He says, not of necessity, that means constraint, because it's needful. Some people only give because there is an outside force that is exerting some kind of pressure on them to make them give that money. And they'll give, oh yeah, because I have to. Not because I want to, but because I have to. And yeah, we ought to give because the Bible commands to do so. But if you and I are only giving because the Bible tells us to give, then we are exposing some really bad, deep-seated issues within our hearts, within our minds. Because we ought to give because we want to give. And that says a lot about our character and a lot about our heart if we're only giving because the Bible says that we must give. You know what it says? It says, well, we're conforming outwardly. Yeah, we're doing it. We're putting that money in. But on the inside, we're saying, no, no, I don't want to. I don't want to give. And we're just like the unregenerate person on the inside. Oh, on the outside, we look good. We look all nice and shiny. We look holy, righteous, putting that money in. But on the inside, no, no, no. We don't want to do it. Do you know what the Pharisees used to do? Pharisees in the times of Jesus Christ. Boy, Jesus Christ came to them in Matthew chapter number 23, and he says, you serpents, you generation of vipers, you hypocrites. He said, you look real good on the outside. You look like whitewashed tombs, but on the inside, you stink. You're full of dead men's bones. You're dead on the inside. And you know what they were doing? Oh, man, they were tithers. Pharisees were tithers. They used to get their spices, anise and their cumin, however you say that. You get some of that, boy, they'd tithe off that. That'd be like you getting your salt and pepper shaker out and getting that out and getting a tenth of that out. Got to put in my tenth of my spices. Boy, they tithe off everything. And boy, they looked so good when they did it too. Well, they'd go down to the temple, and boy, they would just tithe on everything. Boy, they were law keepers. Law keepers. And Jesus Christ said, you strain at a gnat and you swallow a camel. Well, they'd be straining their food to get all the bugs out of it, but then they'd swallow a camel. He says, you worry about the smallest little details, but then you don't worry about the bigger things. You don't worry about faith. You don't worry about mercy. You don't worry about judgment. You don't worry about any of those big things of the law. No, you're worried about the small things. And why are you doing that, Pharisees? Because you want to seem righteous. You want to seem holy. So they would do it. Of course they would. But as far as having internal integrity and character, like judgment or mercy or faith, you ain't going to find it there.
I mean, the Pharisees were some of the most faithless, judgmental, unmerciful people that you would ever find on the face of the planet, but yet they were the most religious, law-keeping people that you would ever find as well. And my guess is that if you went to the Pharisees' church, you're not going to hear a whole lot of sermons about mercy. That's one thing they would never touch on. Faith? No. No, you're not going to hear anything about that. Tithing? Yeah, all the time. You know why? Because everyone can see you tithe, but they can't see the inside. And they wanted to appear holy in front of other people. So when we give, only because we have to. We don't really want to give. But the Bible says that we have to give, and so therefore we're going to give. We are exposing that we have some real serious problems on the inside, and we need to search our hearts and ask why. Why am I only giving just because the Bible says to give? And because I just don't really want to. So we have the lawgiver. We have the reluctant giver. And Paul says, don't be those kind of givers. Instead, be the cheerful giver. The cheerful giver. We find that in verse number 7. He says, for God loves a cheerful giver. You know what the cheerful giver is? Man, the cheerful giver, man, he's joyous. He's happy. Boy, I'm happy to give. You bet. I want to give. That word cheerful means like hilarious. Like, I ain't got a care in the world. I'm going to go ahead and give what I have to other people. And that's fine with me. I'm happy to share the things that I have. I ain't got a care in the world. They're joyful as they give. There ain't nothing holding them back on the inside. They're prompted giving, always ready to give, a cheerful giver. Man, I can examine myself sometimes, and I'm not always ready to give. I don't always give cheerfully. But we must be cheerful givers. They have a willing heart. They just want the success of other people. They want other people. They want God's work to go forward, and that's the first thing on their minds. They want to support the work. They want to support other people. They have a heart that is molded and shaped by the grace of God. They have a heart that is molded and shaped by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they want to give. They're willing to give. Ready to give. And the Old Testament, again, gives us a perfect example of how that we ought to give. Moses was speaking to the children of Israel, telling them what the Lord required and getting the temple ready, the tabernacle ready, all the things that they needed. You know what he said? Anybody who's willing, come on down and bring your offering. Bring silver, gold, all the materials. Whoever has a willing heart, bring it with you. And they came. And they were ready and willing and cheerful to do so. Do you know in the next chapter, that was in Exodus chapter number 35. But Moses didn't say, now let's force everyone, get down here right now, bring it. He didn't go to their house with a sword and bring them to the temple at knife point or sword point, make them give to the Lord. No, he said, bring it willingly, willingly. Then in Exodus chapter number 36, a couple of men there that God had given the skill to work and wisdom to work in the temple, given them the heart to want to work and want to do the things in the temple. Boy, they came down and they gave an offering of their own skills to the Lord. And they did the work. And the people came and they brought their offerings to the Lord. And they brought so much to the temple that it was too much. They brought so much that they had to start turning people away. Look, this is sufficient, people. That's enough. We don't need any more. You know, I have never been to a church where that's the case, where there's just too much. There's too many people wanting to work around here. We need to cut back on some of the volunteers. I've never been to a church like that. Too much offering, please. That's enough. Never been there. That was the case with Moses. He says, we got plenty. You know why? They had a lot of cheerful givers. a lot of cheerful givers. And they were ready to do the work. They were ready to supply the needs of the Lord. D.L. Moody once said, "Give until you feel it, and then keep on giving until you don't feel it." Well, that is a pretty good saying, pretty good principle. So we have received freely. God, everything that you have, God has given it to you. Freely given to you. So if you freely received it, why don't you freely give it, and why don't I freely give it? Freely. Freely. So how can we give cheerfully? Well, in our text, Paul says, "Every man as he purposeth in his heart." As he purposeth in his heart. Did you know that you have to give on purpose? Amen. You have to give on purpose. We don't have the things that we have here today. We don't have the church that we have here today. We don't have the blessings that we have here today without somebody giving on purpose. Somebody purposed in their heart and said, "You know what? I'm going to give. And I'm going to give faithfully. I'm going to give when it hurts. I'm going to give when I don't want to. I'm going to give. I'm going to give." Did you know that missionaries don't get supported accidentally? The money just doesn't jump into the offering plate. And I never have walked into the church and found a big pile of cash. You know, this is for the missionaries that floated down out of heaven. No, somebody purposed in their heart, said, "I'm going to give. I'm going to give." So we must purpose in our heart. You must make it a priority in your life to give to the Lord. Because if you don't make it a priority in your life to give to the Lord, chances are you might give sporadically every once in a while, but you're not going to give faithfully. You won't do it. You must purpose in your heart. So you must make an intentional choice. Now, what are the benefits of giving? Cheerfully. Well, he says in verse number 6 that if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. But if you sow bountifully, then you're going to reap bountifully. Now, if you go outside and you only plant one seed down in the ground, don't expect a whole lot back. That's not going to happen. But if you go out and you plant a lot of seeds, plant down in that row, boy, you're going to get back a big old harvest. A lot of stuff. And as I said, I don't like to be cliche, but you just can't outgive God. You just can't do it. And so if you want a lot back, put a lot in. Amen. Give a lot. As much as you can. With a cheerful heart. I understand some people can't give a lot. But give cheerfully. However you can. That's the benefits of giving. You get a lot back. And we owe it all to God. God did not hold anything back from us. Nothing. Paul the Apostle was speaking in Romans chapter number 8, and he says, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all." Amen. He delivered up his own son. "How shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" He's going to give us all things. He didn't spare his own son. I'm not going to expect God to withhold anything that I need. Right. Nothing. He's going to give it all to me. Everything about your salvation, from justification to glorification, is a free gift of God. It's free. And then Christians want to be stingy. "Well, you know, I just can't do that." And what about the God that you serve and I serve? What about the gift of salvation that He's given to us? And we can't sacrifice a little bit? Come on, folks. We must sacrifice for the Lord. Don't be stingy with the blessings of God. Give back to the Lord. He's given so much to us freely. Let's pray.